Well, as I say almost every Sunday morning, we're small, but boy, are we faithful. And it is so good to look out and see everybody here, and especially nobody's sick. That's great. And good to see the kids here with us again. I about forgot what they look like. But good to see you again. And we're so thankful that we can come together and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. You know, a long time ago, when our country was facing a crisis that threatened even its continued existence, Abraham Lincoln made this statement. He said, and I quote, "Let the people know the truth and this country is safe." Many years before, a much greater authority than Abraham Lincoln stated it even more emphatically when Jesus said in John 8:31, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You should know the truth, and the truth will make us free. In every age of man, on every issue, there has always been a pressing need for men to speak, believe, and obey the truth. Solomon, speaking from his God-given wisdom, said the need for people to buy the truth and sell it not. That's from Proverbs 23, verse 23. That's something you might even want to mark in your Bibles if you want to. Buy the truth and sell it not. How simple. The time in which we live today is not different in this respect from any other time. The basic trouble with the world today is the same as it was in the first century. We have men who either have the truth in unrighteousness, as Paul said in Romans 1:18, or they change the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, as he said in Romans 1:25. God hates a liar. Isaiah very vividly portrayed the condition of his time in language that is amazingly accurate when describing our day and time in Isaiah, the 59th chapter. Let's turn over there and look at that. Isaiah 59, verse 14 and 15. The Bible says in verse 14 of Isaiah 59, "And judgment is turned away backward, and justice stands afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Verse 15, "Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment." My friends and brethren, we can see the importance of truth when we understand how powerful it is in our lives. When Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free," he was telling us just how powerful it is. But the only way the power of truth can benefit us is by our incorporating it into our lives by living truth. Just how this is done is pointed out in the Scriptures. My friends, truth is the very power that begets us in the new birth. Everybody talks about being born again, and truth is the power that brings that marvelous rebirth about. Truth is the power that brings it about. James chapter 1. Look with me quickly, if you would. James 1. James 1 and verse 18. James wrote, "Of his own will beget he us with the word of truth, that we should be some kind of first fruits of his creatures." Without truth, brethren, without truth, the new birth cannot even be started, and obviously if it's not started, it can't be finished. As sure as night follows day, a person cannot enter into the kingdom of God without receiving the truth of his word. Another point, truth is also the power that purifies the soul. Let's look at what Peter told us in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1, verse 22 and 23. 1 Peter 1. Verse 22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto the unfeigned or the genuine love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. Verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. That's us, brethren. When a person sets his or her mind to seek the truth and obey it step by step as it is unfolded to him, he is led into a life of purity and dedication. Jesus emphasized this idea when he identified truth as a means of being sanctified, so set apart to the service of God. He said in John 17:17, very simply, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. His word is the truth. And a man who wants to be holy and pure, the one who wants to be set apart for the service of God, must stand clothed in the garments of truth. Without truth, we stand before God naked and ashamed with the stain of unrighteousness upon us. And brethren, the scriptures also indicate to us the truth is the stabilizing source of the strength of the child of God. Again, if you would, from Peter, this time, 2 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, excuse me, 2 Peter 1 and verse 12. Second Peter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, that you know them and be established in the present truth. Third John 4, John wrote, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Truth is the power that enables a Christian to stand against wickedness. It is a part of the armor of God with which we are to clothe ourselves. We have to have our loins girded about with the truth. Brethren, with truth, we will triumph. Without it, we will tremble and fall. And let us not forget that truth is a condition of acceptable worship to God. Jesus said, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in truth and in spirit. That's from John 4, verse 24. Through worship, we commune with God. It is the avenue through which we prostrate ourselves before our Creator and by which we gain strength from Him. Yet, if we engage in worship in any other way than the way set forth in God's truth, it is worthless and it is powerless. Any other way that is set forth in God's way other than the truth is worthless and powerless. It ought to be clear that the knowledge of God and obedience to it is absolutely essential if we're going to have a relationship with God and be victorious over Satan. Without the truth, we enter into the battle unarmed and unprotected. Turn to Galatians chapter 2, if you would. Galatians chapter 2. Is it any wonder that Paul wrote what he did in Galatians 2, verses 4 and 5, when he said, and that because of false brethren unawares or secretly brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Jesus Christ, that they might bring us into bondage. Now listen to verse 5. To whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul instructs us in no uncertain terms. Paul instructs us not to tolerate false teaching or false preaching even for 1 hour. Our attitude must be the same as that expressed by Paul in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 8 when he says, for we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Now we have said a great deal about truth, but what is it? Well, that's a very important question. How can we take advantage of the power of truth? How can we stand in it and gird our loins with it if we don't know what it is? Brethren, men have always tried to get around the responsibility of facing up and fighting for the truth. One of the most devious ways ever invented to get around the force And the essential nature of truth is found in the question that Pilate asked Jesus. You remember that in John the 18th chapter? Let's go there and look. John chapter 18. John 18. Look at verses 37 and 38. Now, when Jesus was on trial before him, this exchange took place between them in John 18, verse 37 and 38. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Verse 38, Pilate said unto him, What is truth? What Pilate was doing with that question was attempting to sidestep the issue. He did not want to face the truth, and so to relieve himself of the responsibility, he tried to indicate that truth cannot really be easily identified anyway. The same thing that Pilate did has continued on down through the years. Matter of fact, when the Roman Catholic Church is forced to deal with the plain truth of God's Word, it responds by saying that truth is subjective. That it is conditioned upon circumstances and situations so that what is truth to one person may not be the truth for another, they say. Can you believe that? From the denominations, we hear that truth is relative, they say. We live in a different time with a different set of problems, so truth must change to keep up with our times. I can't believe that either. Change it. It's exactly the same that Pilate did when he asked, What is truth? If you say that it is subjective or relative, then you're saying that there is no such thing as absolute truth. How then can you stand firmly upon something that does not exist? It is this attitude that prompts comments like this. We cannot all understand the Bible alike, so let's disagree. Let's agree to disagree. In doing this, these modern-day Pilates crucify afresh the truth which God has revealed and tried to excuse himself by saying, we can't understand it anyhow. Or how about this? Alternative truth. I've heard that. Alternative truth? I don't know what that is. Alternative truth. But you know, actually, it's not difficult to find the truth when you seek it in the proper way and in the proper place. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14 and verse 6. This is a very clear and emphatic way of stating that what Jesus taught and the way that he lived constitutes the divine truth of God. John told us, in John 1:17, he says, For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus selected and inspired certain men to record this truth, this absolute truth for all time. Come with me to John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. Now Jesus made this wonderful promise to his apostles in John 16, verses 12 through 15. He said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Jesus told us. He said, the apostles and the Holy Spirit was going to guide us all into all truth. Jesus furthermore commanded them to teach all things he had commanded in the Great Commission. Let's go to Matthew, the 28th chapter. Matthew, the 28th chapter, if you would. We'll read the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. This is our Lord speaking, of course. He said, "Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Verse 20, "teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Amen. If a person believes the Bible at all, then this passage forever settles and answers the question, what is truth? It is not subjective and it is not relative. It is absolute. It is absolute. Some of you may say, well, exactly what is the Great Commission? What's it for? Well, the origin of the Great Commission was God the Father. The authority of the Great Commission is God the Son. The scope of it is the entire world. Preach the gospel to the entire world. The duration is forever. And the promise is salvation. Jesus told his apostles that the Holy Spirit would guide them into all truth. Jesus furthermore commanded them to teach all things that he had commanded them in the Great Commission that we just read. I'm going to read it again. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." That's your Great Commission. Now, it doesn't take a Solomon to see if these statements were fulfilled. Then the teaching of the inspired men of God contains all truth. What they taught and recorded for us was the Word of God. And God's Word contains truth. All truth. All truth. It is the truth. Brethren, don't forget, God wrote the Bible. He wrote every word of it. Different men penned those words, but God wrote the Bible. That's what we call it, the Word of God. Things which are authorized by His Word are according to the truth. Things that are not authorized by His Word are not truth. Very simple. Now, people may ignore that fact, but they cannot successfully deny it. But, and this is so important, the truth must not only be acknowledged in theory, it must be respected in practice. I want us to go to Matthew, the 15th chapter now. Matthew, the 15th chapter. Brethren, if we run around all day long saying, "Thy word is truth, thy word is truth," and do things religiously that are not found in the Word of God, then we're guilty of the grossest form of lip service and fall into the category of those described by Jesus in Matthew, the 15th chapter, verses 8 and 9, when he said these words, "This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips." Listen to that. "But their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines of commandments of men." Teaching the doctrines of men. That is every denomination in this whole wide world, every religion in this whole world. They do not keep God's truth. They teach their own doctrines. Now, let's go to Matthew, the 7th chapter. It makes it even more clear here. Matthew chapter 7. And verse 21. Jesus said, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven." How many times have we heard that? "But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." You have to work. You have to obedience. You have to obey. "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works?" Verse 23. "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Here Jesus denounces doing things religiously without his authority. How simple. And I love what the Lord says so plainly in Matthew 7 and verse 21, 23 that we just read. And I'll say this, if the denominational world would believe and accept this passage, there would be no denominations. And the Lord's prayer would be answered by what He said in John the 17th chapter. And wouldn't that be wonderful? So let's read all this together. Go to John the 17th chapter. When our Lord is out in the Garden of Gethsemane and He's praying to His Father. Verse 20. Jesus said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word. That's the apostles' word. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me, and I in Thee. That they all may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me. One. How many we got around today? You don't know. Maybe 3,000, some people say. Different denominations. Some people say 20,000. I don't know. But they, none of them. They do the commandments, the words of men. People deny the reality of the absolute truth. The denominations may obscure the identity of the truth, but the true child of God must buy the truth and sell it not. He must search for it with all that he has until he finds it. And he will find it in God's Word. And it, as it relates specifically to our responsibility today, he will find it in the New Testament. Having found it, he must embrace it above all else. Nothing else comes before him. He must believe it and he must obey it with all the strength of his body, his soul, and his mind. Then, and only then, will the truth make him free. You've heard me say this before, and I think about this a lot. Every one of us here this morning is just a breath away from eternity. Just think of that. Just one breath away from eternity. I wish you'd think about that. Now, many good things come from God to the alien sinner. So don't mistake any of these as signs of your salvation. There's only one thing that will save you. That is your faith and obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Until you obey the gospel, all the rain, the sun, the fruitful season, the gladdened hearts will not save you. You are still lost. It's time you let go of these false hopes and obey the gospel where there is real hope. Confess your faith in Christ. Repent of your sins. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. As Jesus said in Matthew 10:32, and again in Mark 16:16, and Peter also in Acts 2 and verse 38. You'll be lost no longer. And you will still have all those blessings plus many, many more. Take your stand with Christ today, not just with His blessings. And one more thing. Again, you know that God hates a liar. Proverbs 6 and verse 17, he says he hates lying lips. Revelation 21 and verse 8, he says liars will end up in the lake of fire and brimstone forever. Scary. Maybe you're an erring Christian, and you too need to make some changes in your life. You remember the story when Peter was speaking to Simon, a saved man, in Acts 8 and verse 13? After Simon was saved, he did something bad. What did he do? He sinned against God by offering money to buy the power of the Holy Ghost. He had sinned. Peter told him to repent and pray, Acts 8, 22. Brethren, that is God's law to the erring child of God. We've talked about this so many times. We're so lucky to have that avenue of prayer that we can ask for forgiveness of our sins. So let's be thankful for His law of forgiveness. And I want to tell you one more time. I've told you 1,000 times. I'm going to tell you again. If you miss heaven, you missed it all. If you miss heaven, brethren and friends, you have missed everything. Everything. Nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. That's our only goal. Go to heaven. Get to heaven. And that's what we're all trying to do. Help each other to get to heaven. If we can help anyone in any way, please come forward as we sing the invitation song. Brother Bill.